You may be seated. I want to go ahead and dismiss all the junior high and high school students. Just junior high only. 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. You can go back to the foyer, and our team will send you over to the Student Center if you're brand new, if you've never been here before, and you have a junior high student, they're welcome to go as well. We have a great class ready for them over in the Student Center, and Pastor Emilio's over there waiting for them and his team. So good morning to you all. Glad to have you. Welcome back. You made it. The Sunday after Easter, that's a big deal. So thank you for being here today, worshiping with us. We had a fantastic 8:30 service as well. And it's just good to see you all here at Promised Land today. And everybody that's online, we're so glad to have you joining us as well, wherever you are. You know, if you're in the area, just couldn't make it to the room, we're honored to have you with us. Maybe you're from out of state or other places as well. If you have questions or needs, maybe a prayer need, please chat with us. We have a team ready to connect with you. They're going to be posting things throughout the service on YouTube and Facebook. So if you have any needs, please let them know. We'd love to connect with you. So why don't we give them a hand? Let's clap for everybody that's awake in their living room. Yeah. So today I'm going to start a new message series called You Asked For It, and I'm going to be answering some of the questions that you asked. You asked for it, and now you're going to get it right now. So get your Bible out, a phone, a tablet, something that you can open up the Bible, because I would love for you to follow along, and I'm going to be giving several different scripture references. And also some notes. If you are able to take a note, please write some of these things down, because today's a fundamental message in your faith. It is a perspective message. And so what I've done is I went through all the questions that you guys submitted, and there are some really good questions, and some of them I answered directly. I just started having a conversation. And so anybody that submitted a question, thank you so much for doing that. A lot of great questions came in, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to group them together in groups of questions that relate to each other and try to answer as many as possible. And so today, we're kicking it off, and what I want to do is just read some of you some of these questions that have come in, and these are the ones that I'm going to talk about today, and because they all kind of have the same theme, which is salvation. You know, what is salvation all about? What does it mean? How does it happen? Here's some of the things that were said via text to us. I received Jesus, but I don't feel a whole lot different yet. How am I new? If I accept Jesus in my heart as Lord, but still live however I want, can I still go to heaven? Who asked that question? I'm just kidding. This is a heavy one. Can you still go to heaven if you've committed a sin like having an abortion? So I want to talk to you today about these particular ones, and I'm going to go further than these questions. But this is a huge shift. This will be a huge shift for many people today, this perspective. And this is the main point I want you to grasp today, is that salvation is a God decision more than it is a human decision or a personal decision or decision that you made. I know churches like ours really, really, really focus on your decision and your choice to follow after God. And there is validity to that because we do have free will. But this point right here is something that is very important. Our decision in the process pales in comparison to God's decision in the process. God made a decision to save you before you even knew he existed. God chose you. So your salvation is a God decision much more than it is your decision or a human decision. Now we say things like, I accepted Jesus, or I received Jesus, or I came to Jesus. And pastors use that. I've said that. I'm probably going to say it again at some point. You're going to say it again at some point. But I really want us to look at what that phrase means. You know, like if I say, I have accepted Jesus into my life, do you realize how arrogant that sounds? I mean, if you really break it down, like, I accepted the King of the world, I'm going to go ahead and let him be a part of my life. Right? I mean, that's kind of what we're saying. Like, I accept you. You died for me? Okay, I'll accept you then. Or, you know, I received him. I came to him. There is validity to the idea that we can reject him, right? I mean, we can say no to him. But really what I want us to understand is that even though there's free will, and yes, you have a decision in the process, that's like a sliver of the moment or the decision power. The decision that God made first is so important. God chose you first. God chose me first. Romans 5 and 6 is the first text I want to look at. I'm going to look at the whole chapter of Romans 5 is just phenomenal. I want to read to you a couple verses. The first one is verse 6. It says, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us, who? Sinners. When we were utterly helpless, when we didn't even know he existed, actually before we were even born, right? He came at just the right time for us, for the world as a whole. Christ came at just the right time and died. He paid the price. So this one sentence is loaded with so many amazing truths in it. But we're utterly helpless, and we can't even begin to think that this salvation was because we decided for it to happen. No, God decided for your salvation to happen before you even knew he existed, before your parents even conceived you, or before they were conceived. I mean, this is such a long time ago. God chose you. God, I mean, this is great news. I'm giving you good news today. God chose you. God loved you before you even were conscious of anything, before you even could begin to make a decision for yourself. So when we think that we have been the ones to make this salvation happen because we made the choice, we immediately get the wrong frame of mind. And we begin to frame that salvation is about us. And salvation is really not about us. This is such an odd thing to hear at church, right? Your salvation is not focused around you. Here's part of why this happens is because majority of people come to church, join a church or whatever, because their life is struggling in a rough spot in your life. And so you think, I need help. I need a solution in my life. I need to get fixed. And so, you know, you start getting the idea to come to church. And what you need to know is those ideas for you to start coming to a church is really not your idea. That's the Holy Spirit beginning to call you and to woo you. God's making a move on you again. So he makes this move on you to die for you and raise from his death for you. And then while you're sinning and while your life is a mess, the Holy Spirit's beginning, hey, you know, and you hear about a church, you think, well, I need to go there. You go there, and this idea is my life is struggling, I need help, I'll go to this place, and salvation is going to bring me the help that I need for my immediate life. And from day one, our perception of salvation is backwards. Our salvation is really not about us finding anything or our life immediately changing or flipping or switching or anything like that. So you may, you know, ask, well, what is the reward? What is the reward of salvation? Why would we be saved? You know, I thought it was because I would heal, my marriage would be healed, or my life would be better, or I would be more healthy, or whatever. But Romans 5 continues to tell us what the reward is of our salvation. I want us to read verse 11. It says, "So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus has made us friends of God." This verse right here, circle it, highlight it, write it down. Romans 5 and 11 tells you the importance of your salvation and what the reward is for your salvation. Your reward for your salvation is that you now have a relationship with God. You are now friends with God, the creator of the world, the king of the world, the Lord of the world. And it is because he made that move on you first. It is because he wanted to save you. He wanted to save. I'm just going to keep saying the same thing in a whole lot of different ways today, because I want to try to make sure you get this one key core concept. That God wanted you to be saved first. That's why he made a move on you. And so your salvation is really not even about you. It's not about us. Everything is about God. Even your salvation is about God. Isn't that kind of crazy to think about? I mean, you've been told and thought, you know, like, this is about me. This is about my salvation. This is so I can have whatever. But I want to flip it on you a little bit and really show you that God saved you because he wanted to save you. Not just so you don't burn in hell forever and ever and ever, but because he wanted to live with you forever and ever and ever. You see the difference in that way of thinking? If you understand that God loves you so much that he wanted to live with you forever and ever and ever, and he's not just doing this so you don't suffer, man, that is such a rich idea, such a powerful thought. A relationship with you is what he wants. He wants a relationship with you. So he goes to the utmost price and pays the utmost price so he can have a relationship with you. A friendship. A good thing. A friendship. Now, let me break it down like this. So let's just say you start a new friendship. I don't know. Let's just say it's like how about you? Let's say we become friends with Angel and Cecilia. Okay, you don't know them very well. You start, you know, you go to lunch with them after church. And then the next week, you do it again. And then like three or four weeks down the road, you're like, well, babe, I don't get it. Well, what's wrong? Why isn't our life better because we're now friends with Angel and Cecilia? Like, why don't I feel different? Why am I not different? I want you to understand that what God is doing in your life is not something that's just cheap and flippant and temporal and something that is here today and gone tomorrow. But God is beginning something in your life with your salvation that is the soil that everything else is going to come out of. And it is something that is important, and it is rich, and it is centered around two entities that can grow together over time, and that relationship between those two entities will produce great things. So it's like, you know, someday he might come. Like a few years ago, I called Angel and I was like, "Can you please come help me? I had I was on machinery. I shouldn't even have been on it, okay? But I was on it, and the track. Remember this? The track came off of the thing, and I was like, there's no way I can put this thing back on. This is a man's man. He knows how to do all this kind of stuff. He has tools and trucks and equipment. And so I called him. I was like, "Can you please come help me?" He comes over and he helps me. He puts the track back on the Bobcat. And so what do? I get right back on it. And I start working with this Bobcat again. And guess what happens? The track comes off again. So what do? Angel. One more time. And this time I said, "Angel, if you fix this, I'm never getting back on this thing again, okay?" But he came over. And so there's there is reward to that relationship. And I'm here for him and Cecilia to help them. But it's this fruit that comes out of that relationship is something that happens over time. And I want us to really start wrapping our head around this is about relationship with God. This is not about you meeting Santa Claus or you meeting the fairy or whatever. It's like, fix this or help that. Okay. All right, you get it. If we think that God owes us miracles or healing, we get it all twisted. God owes us nothing. God owes us nothing. When you start the relationship, this friendship with God, you know what he gives you? Eternal life. Forever and ever and ever in heaven. It's a pretty good thing to get from your new friend. Eternal life. That's awesome. All right? So he really doesn't owe you anything. All right, if we were to be saved by God and then live a difficult life from that point forward until we die, really there's nothing to complain about that because we live in a very broken world and the devil is real and he's attacking us. And so we get things twisted when we think that he owes us, or we get it twisted when we think, well, I better do something to perform for him so he'll like me better. You know, that's not what a healthy relationship is all about. Now, there's no question that God wants us to be whole. He wants us to be strong. He wants us to be vibrant. He wants us to live a life of purpose. We believe all of that. But that's not the primary goal of the salvation that we have. Instead, the primary goal of our salvation is for God to be able to spend eternity with us. I really want you to grasp that today. The goal of your salvation is so that God can spend forever with you. And that's hard sometimes to think about because you're like, you know what, I just want to get through this week. I just want to get through this month. And God wants to help you with this week and this month, but he's gonna begin by saving you for eternity, all right? He's gonna heal you of your sin. So he deals with our sin. He deals with our rebellion by coming to the earth. And if you haven't been here in the last few weeks, I want to just give you this amazing work that Jesus did. He comes to the earth. He dies for us. He sacrifices. He gives his literal physical life to effectively deal with every single sin that we have committed. No matter what sin you commit, it's covered by the blood of Jesus. Every sin that you've committed, every sin that you're going to commit, is covered by the blood of Jesus. So if you ask the question, will God forgive me if I've done something that seems to be just impossible to forget and forgive, the answer is yes. If you thought it was abortion, if you thought it was divorce, if you thought it was mishandling of money or whatever it is that you have in your mind as this impossible hurdle, the blood of Jesus is capable to forgive you of every single one of your sins. Amen. That's wonderful news. It deals with it effectively. Matthew 26 and 27, this is a scripture we read when we take communion together. He took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it, and he gave it to them and said, each of you drink from it, for this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. If you're listening to me today, if you're online or in person, you're listening to me, you're the many. Okay? God has forgiven your sins. Your sins are forgiven. That means that we have the possibility of having a relationship with a pure and holy God. So we have this God-centered view of salvation, and you understand your place in the relationship, that you're the sinner and he's the Savior, and he came to save you from your sin, and he didn't have to do it. But he did it because he actually loves you and wants to be with you forever and ever and ever, then all of a sudden that brings an emotional response. It brings a literal response. It changes actions and attitudes when we have that proper biblical perspective of what salvation is all about. That is what is going to help you on your journey with God. And here's the final point I want to make today. The kingdom of God is like a microwave. Isn't that what Jesus said? The kingdom of God is like the kingdom of God is like farming. That's what it's supposed to say, right? That was a joke, y'all. Come on. But that's what we want it to be, right? Oh, man, quick fix. Or I think some of us come to church, and it feels almost like we, and I'm going to put myself in this category, sell it like you're joining the gym. Like, if you join the church, look what we have over here. Like, we have these weight rooms and a sauna and a pool, and you're going to get a fitness trainer to meet with you a couple times, and then, you know, look at all these packages and things we've got for you here, and look at all these people working out, and you look across the gym and you see all these amazing looking people and they're working out. Look at this. And it feels like that's how we sell the church or sell God to people. And really what we ought to say is, you're going to get eternal life, but then there's going to be a lot of difficult times that come your way. In fact, I see this so many times when someone, you know, surrenders their heart to this truth of Jesus, and they give their life to Jesus, and then they're baptized, and we're gonna have baptisms in May. I'm excited about that. If you want to be baptized, we'd love to baptize you in May. But what happens a lot of times is they get out of that baptistry, they go in the real world, and they start immediately that week facing difficult challenges and difficult things that are troubling and difficult, temptation and people saying things against them and things happening at work or school or whatever. And so there's some tough things that happen. We don't like that. We don't want that. It's like we think we're coming into church and it's going to be super Walmart. Like, where's the aisle for good marriage? You know, I'm trying to find I need an A on my final, so I know that's, you're wandering around. Where's that scripture that says something about, you know, he's the head, not the tail, and blah, 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 you know. You're like, you're going through your Christianity like you're trying to solve all these little pieces, and that's really not the way the kingdom of God is like. Jesus said it like this. The kingdom of God is like a farmer who scattered seed on the ground. Day and night, while he's asleep or awake, the seeds sprout and grow, but he doesn't understand how it happens. So let's just stop right there. That's what the kingdom of God's like. You're the farmer, you sow seed, you throw them in the ground, and guess what? They sprout and things grow up. God, let me just say this. God wants to help you with the practical pieces of your life and the above the surface parts of your life that everybody sees, you see, you feel, and experience. God wants to help you with those things. But something, you got to realize something. Most of us have spent years sowing bad seed in the ground, and you're still reaping some bad fruit of the things that you have been sowing for years. I want the good fruit. All right, this is what Jesus said. Let's start planting some good seed. Let's start sowing some good seeds in the kingdom of God and good soil. The scripture, Mark 4, talks to us about there's good soil and there's bad soil. In fact, there's four different kinds of soil. And so find some good soil, start sowing good seed there. And let me just, spoiler alert right here, Promised Land is good soil, okay? You can sow good seed right here. That's relationships, friendships, people that are going to help you, people that are going to love on you, people are going to, you know, celebrate. We just had celebrations here, marriages, births. I mean, we're here as family, as friends. Sow good seed, invest in one another, love on one another. This is a great place to serve. It's a great place to sow financially. I mean, this is just a great place. So start sowing seeds in the kingdom of God. And this scripture is so beautiful. It says, and then after you've sowed the seed, you're the farmer, you sow the seed, but then God's going to do something that you're not even participating with because you've already done your part. Now God's going to take over. Even while you're sleeping, God's going to do stuff for you. Whether you're asleep or you're awake, God's going to start producing growth so that seed's going to start sprouting under the soil. Mark 4:28 says the earth produces the crops of its own. A leaf blade pushes through, and then heads of wheat are formed, and finally the grain ripens. As soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come. So I want to end on really good news, okay? God is bringing harvest into your life. He's bringing supernatural growth into your life. It all comes from the bed or the foundation of your salvation with Him. That our salvation with Him is where all of the blessings are going to sprout from, and it's where all of our works are going to sprout from. But it's that healthy relationship of God that we have where all of this stuff's coming from. So some of these are just slight little tweaks maybe to the way you've been thinking or the way you've been taught or where you've thought the ways go. It may look from a far distance kind of the same, but man, there's a distinct difference when we see that our salvation is really about God first. Because God loves us, because God wants to spend eternity with us. And our role in it is very minute in our salvation. We say, yes, Jesus. And then our role from that point forward, compared to God, is also minute, but it's important. Sowing seed. So that God's going to bring something into your life. It's not going to be automatic. It's not going to be a microwave. It's going to be more of a slow cook, a marination that God's going to do in your life. So would you stand to your feet right now? I want us to talk to Him. I want you to join in on the conversation. And we're going to sing here in a second. But before we do that, I want us to go to Him personally, and I want us to express our thoughts to Him. And would you just join with me in the conversation? I can't pray for you, but I can pray with you. So let's do that right now. Let's talk to God. Let's talk to God together and just say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for making a move on me first. Thank you, Lord. You didn't have to do that. But while I was utterly hopeless, while I was utterly helpless, while I was sinning, you came at just the right time to die for my sin. Come on, let's make it personal right now. Thank you, Jesus, for doing that. If you've never prayed that prayer or said that before, come on, we welcome you to say that today, to welcome this new life, to open up the possibility, the doors of new relationship with God. Say yes to Jesus. I say yes to you, Jesus. And I say thank you, Jesus, for saying yes to me before I ever even knew you. Thank you, Jesus. I humbly come before you today and say thank you, Jesus. And I say, Lord, I need you. I need you, Lord. I need your forgiveness. I need your mercy. I need your grace. Come on, let's confess that before Jesus today. I confess my need for you. I need you, Jesus. I need what you've done for me. I welcome that into me, into my life. Lord, come on, Jesus. Come on, Lord Jesus. Come on into my life. I recognize you, Lord. I thank you, God, for that. When I respond to you, Jesus, it's my privilege and honor to respond with my seeds. Let's just pray for our farming capacity right now. Some of you didn't realize you're a farmer. You're a farmer. I just pray, God, that you would show me the places to sow seed, Lord, that I would sow seed very, very generously and not eat my seed or waste my seed or throw it away, Lord, but I would put it into your kingdom, God, that you, Lord, supernaturally would bring great fruit in my life that is obvious, Lord, and whether I'm sleeping or I'm awake, God, you're moving on my behalf. Come on, let's thank God for that. Lord, thank you for moving on my behalf, even when I'm not conscious of it, even when I'm asleep, even when I'm not focused on it. Lord, thank you for making a move on my behalf, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You're going to bless the seed of the sower when we sow it into your kingdom and into your beautiful, healthy soul. In Jesus' name, we pray. Come on, everybody say, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Come on, let's worship.
You are love. You bring life to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is.
Come on, sing it out.
Great.
Yeah, that's right.
It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. Your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. Great are you, Lord. You give life. You are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. If you believe that, sing, great.
Song to the Lord right now.
You're so worthy, Jesus. You're so worthy. You give all the praise. We give you all the praise, Jesus.
Come on, if you know it, sing along with me.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great.
Come on, church, I believe you know it out. Come on, sing it out.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. We'll sing.
sing great all you long. Great are you, Lord. You're so great and greatly.